Son, never stop learning.
I'm Elon. I decompose systems to their physical constraints. Today's system is an 18th century guerrilla insurgency.
I'm Polly, Chicago civics teacher, former community organizer. I've spent years asking whose labor holds a system together.
Quick correction before we start. The course title says Swamp Fox. If you heard Desert Fox, that's Erwin Rommel. World War II, North Africa. Different century entirely.
160 years of separation, worth naming clearly.
Francis Marion, born around 1732, Berkeley County, South Carolina. Planter, soldier, partisan commander, the actual Swamp Fox.
And here's where we have a real disagreement about how to open his story.
I want to start with the mechanism. What made Marion's insurgency work at a systems level?
I want to start with who paid for it. Ingenious system is a comfortable frame that can erase a lot of people.
If the audience can't model the operational logic first, they can't evaluate the trade-offs you want them to judge. Mechanism before moral accounting.
Or the mechanism only makes sense once you know whose knowledge and labor it ran on.
Let me lay the physics. Charleston falls to the British in 1780. Continental Army in the South is effectively gone.
Gone for the regular army. Marion's still there.
Tiny force, no supply chain, no fortifications. His one asset, terrain. Swamps, rivers, dense forest.
And local knowledge, which didn't come from nowhere.
They controlled towns and roads. Marion targeted supply lines and communications, what they couldn't easily defend.
The Santee River near Charleston, the Black River near Georgetown. Specific choke points.
Hit the logistics node, vanish before the response arrives. The swamp is the battery. It stores the energy of concealment.
The swamp is the battery. I'll grant you that image.
Banastre Torlton, British cavalry, fast and aggressive, chased Marion nearly 7 hours, 26 miles. Marion dissolved into the swamp. Torlton quit.
And that failed pursuit is literally where Swamp Fox comes from.
Named by his enemy, British after-action reports acknowledged the terrain was the decisive variable. That's a meaningful signal.
But your systems diagram keeps leaving something out. Marion's force included white and black participants, free and enslaved, and some allied Native Americans.
That's documented. NPS flags it as possibly an early integrated fighting force, though they note it's a belief, not an uncontested fact.
Enslaved is doing a lot of work in that sentence. Their terrain knowledge, their labor, that's the substrate your efficient system ran on, not a footnote.
Open with moral complexity before the audience can model the tactics, and you get vague outrage instead of historical understanding.
Open with the elegant mechanism and footnote the human cost, and you've already decided whose story this is.
Marion's background matters here. First combat was the Cherokee War, 1759 to 1761. Frontier warfare, irregular, terrain dependent. That's where the model came from.
Frontier warfare against indigenous communities, which also has a distributional story attached to it.
Agreed, but the operational lesson transferred directly. Low resource, high mobility, terrain exploitation. He iterated on a tested model, not a blank slate invention.
So the mechanism has a history, and that history involves communities who were harmed. You can't separate the engineering from the context it came from.
Tarleton's cavalry had a pursuit radius. The swamp exceeded it. That's why Marion survived and the British couldn't pacify South Carolina. The terrain is the decisive variable.
And the people who knew every crossing point in those swamps, who do you think they were?
Local intelligence is a real input to the system. I'm not claiming it's separable from the mechanism.
And name it at the top, not as a footnote. The system and the human substrate are one thing, and that's where the story has to start.
I'll name it, after the audience has enough operational context to understand what they're evaluating. A moral argument with no causal anchor produces heat, not light.
The anchor is the people. That's my position, and I'm keeping it. Next lecture, we go deeper into specific raids, and the human cost won't stay in the footnotes.